tonight. We hope you've had a good day in the Lord. It's good to have God sent quite a few visitors our way this morning. That was a blessing. Don't forget in the morning, if you're going to be going up to the winter retreat time, we'll be leaving at 8 o'clock here from the church. So be here ready to pack, ready and packed to go at 8 o'clock. We can get on the road. It starts actually at 12, and so we need to get there so you can get lunch. If you're late and cause us to miss lunch, then you'll have to buy lunch for the whole bus load. So think about that. Genesis chapter 19. Genesis chapter 19. Let's see Brother Fox and Sister Fox here tonight. Brother Fox, you said if I had another song I wanted you to learn, you'd learn it. You ready? You know God leads us alone. You ever heard that one? God leads us alone. 364 in the book there, Sister Claire. You show it to him after church. It's copywritten in 1930. God leads us along. You want me to read a few lines? I bet you know it. In shady green pastures, so rich, so sweet, where the waters cool, flow bathes the weary one's feet, God leads his dear children along. Some through the waters, some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. Some through great sorrow, but God gives a song in the night season and all the day long. You heard that one, Brother Fox? Well, I'd give you the tune, but I'd be way off and you'd be lost. If you can find that one, do that for me, okay? If you can't, I got another one in my eyes. Okay, maybe we'll sing it here in just a minute. That's all you need is for us to sing it? That's it. Okay. I'll get done quickly so we can sing. Genesis 19, verses 1 through 17 tonight. It is good to see all of you here. I've called all school administrators and I requested for all students to be back at school tomorrow. So have your alarm clock set, ready to go to school. Genesis 19, verses 1 through 17. And there came two angels to Sodom at even, and Lot saw in the Lot sat in the gate of Sodom, and Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them. And he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. And he said, "Behold now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into our servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet, and you shall rise up early and go on your ways." And they said, "Nay, but we will abide in the street all night." And he pressed upon them greatly. And they turned in unto him and entered into his house. And he made them a feast and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. And they called unto Lot, and said unto him, "Where are the men which came in to thee this night? Bring them out unto us, that we may know them." And Lot went out at the door unto them, and shut the door after him, and said, "I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. Behold now, I have two daughters which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and do ye to them as it is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing. For therefore came they under the shadow of my roof." And they said, "Stand back." And they said again, "This one fellow came in to sojourn, and he will needs be a judge." Now will we deal worse with thee than with them. And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot. And he came near to break the door. But the men put forth their hand and pulled Lot into the house to them and shut to the door. And they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves to find the door. And the man said unto Lot, Hast thou here any besides? Son-in-law, and thy sons, and thy daughters, and whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place. For we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxing great before the face of the Lord. And the Lord hath sent us to destroy it. And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, Up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. And when the morning rose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, Arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand, and upon the hand of his wife, and upon the hand of his two daughters, and the Lord being merciful unto him. And they brought him forth and sent him without the city. And it came to pass, when they had brought them forth abroad, that he said, Escape for thy life. Look not behind thee, neither stay thou in the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. Now this is the beginning of the tragic story of the end of Lot. It's not the beginning of the tragic story. If you go back up to Genesis chapter 13, verse 10, you'll see Lot has gone a long way since departing from Abraham. Genesis 13, verse 10. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan. It was well watered everywhere, for the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan. And Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves, the one from the other. Look at verse number 12. And Abram dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. Genesis chapter 14, verse 12. Genesis chapter 14, verse 12. So he left left Abram, he went and dwelt in the plains. Then he went a little further, and he pitched his tent toward Sodom. Verse 12, and they took Lot, Abram's brother and son, who dwelt in Sodom, and is good. So he's come a long ways until we find him here in chapter 19 and verse number 1. And there came two angels to Sodom in the evening, and Lot sat at the gate. So he left and departed Abram, chose the plain that was as beautiful and well watered as the garden of God, speaking of the Garden of Eden. And now he's pitched his tent towards Sodom, so now he can see it. He's gotten closer. And as he's gotten closer, before long he is living inside Sodom. Then we find him, as it states here, as seated at the gate of Sodom. This is what just not a little place where you could sit and watch strangers come and go. This was a place where historians have said that those that would cast judgment over things and matters of the city. You remember Boaz and his family, they came and wanted to figure out this thing with Ruth. And the one said, well, I'll take it. And Boaz said, okay, you take it, but you've got to take also, you take the mother's inheritance. You got to take Ruth, which was a Moabitess. He said, oh, I can't do that. It's going to mess up my inheritance. So he took the shoe off and had all these customs. This is the place of judgment. Now, some historians have said that Lot did not deserve to sit at the gate. I'm not here to say if he deserved it or not. You remember, this is a political seat. Why would they want Lot at the political seat? He was nephew to who? Abram, who rescued all the people of Sodom. Abram. So they wanted somebody with connections. That's how politics works, even today. A lot of folks don't deserve the seats and the places they get, but because of whatever reasons, they become ambassadors, they become seats in the cabinets, and so forth and so on, because of connections. I don't think Lot made good decisions. I don't think he was a good judge of things to be going on, because he finds himself in some real deep trouble twice that we find here. And so Lot has come a long way. So he's sitting there at the gate, and then all of a sudden, here comes these two fellows there. It says that there came two angels to Sodom, and even in Lot sat at the gate of Sodom, and he recognized them. Isn't it amazing that when you're part of the things of God, you said Lot was a part of things of God? Yes, I believe absolutely he was, just very carnal. Hold your place there and flip over to 2 Peter. I believe he was a very carnal Christian. He lived for the now and what he could get now, and he had no care and concern for the things beyond today. He almost reminds me of Esau. Now, Esau was one that sold his birthright for just a pottage of soup, just some bowl of beans, you might say, there. And it was for the hunger that he was feeling at the moment. Second Peter chapter number 2, verse 4, the Bible says, 2 Peter, actually verse 6, 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 6, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an ensample unto those that after should live ungodly. Verse 7, and delivered, what does it say? Just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked, for that righteous man, talking about Lot, that righteous man dwelling among them, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. So I do believe Lot was a saved man. I believe that he had put his faith and trust in the same God that Abram did, that he came out. He just lived in such a carnal and complicated way of being entangled by the sins. No doubt he enjoyed the pleasure for a moment. Remember, Hebrews tells us sin is pleasurable for a season. It's pleasurable. But people wouldn't be involved in sin, dear friend, if it wasn't pleasurable. They get involved in it because there is a sort of a pleasure, immediate pleasure. But when it's all said and done, it brings forth death, destruction. And Lot, sitting there, sees these two angels coming his way. And he understands the surrounding. He understands the city. He understands the activities. And some have said here that what really was going on was that they just was trying to be hospitable to these two men, and they really just wanted to know them. And they go to verse number 5, and they called unto Lot and said unto him, where are the men which came into thee this night? Bring them out unto us, that we may know them. If you only had that verse, that would be probably a good argument, a good conversation. to know them. We just wanted to get to know them. So some say and have taught and some believe that the city of Sodom and Gomorrah was just really not very hospitable people. Lot was hospitable. He understood the city. They said, we're going to stay out here all night. The Bible says Lot pressed upon them. He pressed upon them. And they said, no, we want to know them. And it has nothing to do with knowing them. And many of you like Dr. Pepper, you like Pepsi, you like ginger ale, you like water. How about air? Do you like air? Now I'm getting to know man. Nothing to do with that. Nothing to do with that at all. How do you know that, preacher? Because we have the rest of the story right before us. All you got to do is keep reading. The Bible is the best interpreter of itself. We don't have to guess what was going on. We don't have to get graphic what was fixing to happen here. Because if you read on, it says, and Lot went out at the door unto them and shut the door after them and said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. Was it wicked of me to ask Manny, did he like air? Did he like water? Did he like soda? No. That's not wicked to get to know how tall someone is, what their favorite color is, and things of that nature. So as you read it, Lot approaches those men and said, listen, don't. We know that he understood the surroundings because he begged them not to stay out into the streets all night. He said, come in unto me. He recognized who they were, and he begged them to come in. And it got so, Lot's judgment got so confusing here that in the midst of all of what was going on, trying to protect the angels, Lot said, by the way, since you want to get to know these two men, I've got two daughters who have never known men. What, do you think they were like just stuck in a closet somewhere? If we're talking about knowing somebody, we're not talking about knowing somebody. This is talking in definite, pure, godly language that everybody can understand what was fixing to take place here. And Lot said, they've known not man. And take them and do as it pleases you, whatever's good in your sight, and you have your way with them. So you have the angelic visit, then you have the depravity of Sodom showing. Remember why God came down. God, last chapter, came down because the cry of Sodom was great. The sin of Sodom was grave, and it was there, and these two men understood their purpose for being here. It's not a natural thing for this type of activity to take place. Not how God meant it to be. Not how God meant it to be at all. And Lot, now in his confusion, now you see why I tell you, I don't think that Lot was there because he was a great judge. How many of you right now would take your child and say, I want to protect these two, you can have these. They didn't think he was a great judge either. The next verse, verse 9, they said, stand back, speaking to Lot. And they said again, this one fellow, speaking about Lot, came in to sojourn, and he will needs be a judge. Now we'll deal worse with thee than with them. Wait a minute. The day before, when he was sitting at the gate judging their matters, because he was Abram's nephew, they were okay with him being judged. They were okay with him sitting at the gate. But when Lot, one of their own that sit at the gate, opposed them and what they wanted to do, they got angry. I'm telling you something. You want to make somebody upset, you just stand in righteousness and oppose their wickedness. And you can find here. The religious crowd of the day is what riled up the city against Jesus. The religious crowd. Well, why would they do that? Well, we know it was God's plan for Jesus to go and to die on the cross of Calvary. Jesus even prophesied. He told his disciples, these things must come to pass. But their problem was they was afraid they were going to lose their clout, their power, their positions. Rome was scared that this here might come to pass, that this King of Kings might really become a king. Pilate was concerned. Herod was concerned. They had but it all led through the political seat. And these men said, now we're going to deal worse with you. May I say something to you tonight, dear friend? You live and interact with the ungodly and the wicked, and they will treat you in the same manner. At the end of the day. And this is what happened. He was okay as long as he stayed quiet and was just the nephew of Lot. If they got raided again, well, he would send a telegram or a runner over to Abram, and Abram would show up with his 318 armed soldiers, and they would have some protection. As soon as he didn't go their route, the wicked was ready to devour him. You remember the book of Acts when Paul was preaching, the Bible says that they gathered up the baser sort to go against him. The religious Jews of the sect in the synagogue gathered up the baser sort of folks to go against Paul. Isn't that amazing? This example throughout the Bible, when they were going to crucify Christ, they had an option, Christ or Barabbas. A known criminal, malefactor, and they chose to take and crucify the righteous Messiah, the one who had healed their lame, fed their hunger, caused the wind and rain to calm down the seas to be still and cause dead to rise up out of the grave. And they chose him over the one that would take life and stole from them, probably led raids against their caravans as they went. And they said, listen, this is where sin leads you, where you can have no discernment. You know people as well as I do that have started off in a good position, godly, walking with godly people. I'd say Lot walked with a godly person, Abram. Friend of God. You'd think some of that would have rubbed off. But then before long, they're making decisions. Listen, sin will destroy your ability to comprehend, because sin brings forth death. You'll make decisions like Lot. Here is my two daughters, who's known no man. Do with them as you please. Be careful, dear friend, with sin. Be very careful, because your discernment will be just clouded. You will not be able to make good judgment. The devil is a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And the wiles of the devil are very, very aggressive. So be very careful with what you're willing to offer up to this world. Any fathers want to protect his daughters, right? Be very careful for the sake of whatever. Be very careful before you offer your family, your children, your relationship. Be very careful. Be very careful with yourself. You're special in the eyes of God. You don't have to give yourself over to things of this world, or the pleasure of this world. We should have the attitude of Paul, where he said, whether absent or present, the Lord, I just want to please Him. Be very careful what you're looking at, what you think looks profitable and good. I think that Lot was probably making a business decision when he looked out there and saw the well-watered plains. He had cattle he needed water. I think it was a business decision. It was not right. It was not shouldn't have been. He should have let Abram choose, and then he took the leftover. He should have, maybe he should have just kept his servants under subjection. He said, hey guys, we're not fixing to fight with Abram. He's a good friend of ours. This is family. But I believe it was a business decision. I'm telling you, be careful with your business decisions. Especially when you're not asking God about it. Be very careful, because it don't just end with just a business decision. Before long, you're wound inside and you're entangled in a web of bondage. And then you make decisions like that. Verse 12 through 14, you notice the men, the angels, begin to warn. Here's the great question. This should be a sobering question to you. When they blinded the men, they were already spiritually blinded. The God of this world had blinded them to what was going on. So now they're physically blind. Now they're inside the house with Lot. And they turn to Lot in verse 12 and they ask him this question. Hast thou here any besides? I wonder where that question was coming from. Do you remember the conversation with Abram last chapter? Lord, if they be 50? Lord, if they be 45? Would you spare this city? Lord, if they be 35? Lord, if there be 30? Lord, if there be 20? Lord, if there just pre-adventure before I anger you too much? Lord, if there be 10? Now you understand where that question comes from? These men could count. It's Abram, his wife, two daughters. Any here besides? Son-in-law. Okay, there's four in front of us. Son-in-law. So there's there. You have, are they here? If they're here, that's a good question. So it's a sobering question, isn't it? It's an important, timely, and soul-searching question. Who are you influencing? Who are you influencing besides those that are standing right in front of you? And we know from the chapter, this chapter didn't go too well with those. Hast thou any here? God's judgment is coming. You know the judgment of God must begin at the house of God first. Is there any here, Lot? So he begins to go. Lot went out, verse 14, he spake unto his sons-in-laws, which married his daughters. So we know at least two more. He said, up, get ye out of this place. Wait a minute. Get up. Now you want to talk about get up? Now you want to say it's time to do this, or it's time to do that? The Bible says, but he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. Lot had lost any and all influence with his family. With family. So that tells me he had very little influence in the city of Sodom. The place that he thought he would find wealth and great gain, he had no influence. But it had influenced him greatly. Greatly. Have you lived a life before your family and others that you spoke to them about some coming judgment, they would listen. The way we live matters, people. It's more than an attitude. It's a lifestyle. We got to live like God matters to us. You say, is there another example? Yeah, we went over that 3 chapters ago, didn't we? Abraham was talking with God. God said, listen, Abraham, before we go any further with this, you and your whole entire household, male, every male, is going to have to subject themselves to circumcision. Immediately, Abraham arose, went to those in his household, and guess what they did? Subject themselves. Circumcision. Why? Because Abram had lived in a way that his influence for God mattered. It mattered. The way you live matters. So, preacher, I've messed up. I've stumbled and fallen. So have all of us. The righteous man falls 7 times, yet riseth again. Get up and go a little another step further. Pastor, I've been doing right. And it just seems like that those around me are not influenced by the things of God. God did right, and God was just and righteous. Shall not the judge of all the earth be right? And yes, yet 3 chapters into this, we got the first murder. Cain, 4 chapters into the Bible, we got Cain killing his brother, Abel. 2 chapters into it, we got the only 2 people on earth at that time choosing to do wrong. Had nothing to do with God, did it? We know that God came down in fellowship with them day by day, because when they heard the voice of God, they went and hid themselves. They understood who was coming. Not everybody's going to do right. But don't allow yourself to be the one that does wrong to give them the excuse not to do right. Do right. Be like the 3 children of Shadrach, the 3 children of Israel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. When they looked up at the king and they said, listen, even if God don't extinguish this fire, we're not bowing down to this. Even if God don't, we're not. We know the story. God didn't extinguish it, but he met him in the fire. Lot had lost his influence. Verses 15 through 17, you find the urgent deliverance, the warning to hasten or suffer consequences. And when the morning rose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, arise, take thy wife and the 2 daughters which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. Verse 16, and while he lingered. Yet another. I ponder this, Brother Chase. He's getting a message to hasten to get out. He lingered. Next week when we look at this chapter, we're going to see that there's going to be a turning of someone into a pillar of salt. I wonder if he had hastened, Brother Jim. You know what he taught his wife? Right there, the last thing he taught his wife was, it's okay. I know we were told to hasten, but it's okay. Next chapter, next portion of this, we're going to see that it affected her. It affected her greatly. And it affects the children, too, down the way. The warning to hasten. Lot lingered. Why did he linger? He loved this present world. There's a lot of folks just lingering today, not getting involved with the things of God, not being involved with the work of the Lord. They're just lingering, you know, against things and lingering, you know. We're lauding where they should not be lauding. You know, there's laws in many places. They put up signs. There's no lauding after a certain time. That means no hanging out. Why do you think they do that? they know that just hanging around there is going to cause you problems. It's going to cause you problems. You know what? You got to hasten. Hasten to do right. Hasten to be around the things of God. Don't look behind you. Psalms 121, and we're done tonight. Psalms 121. Where's our help? Psalms chapter 121. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and the earth. But they were too focused on the things around us. And it's influenced us greatly as God's children. Greatly. We need to hasten. Hasten to the Lord. Well, Jim, let's close with that song real quick. If y'all come up, you remember that page? 364, church. You turn your books there so Brother Claire can hear this. Put it to memory so you can get home and play the piano all night long.
364, there at the bottom of the page. Let's all stand together.